Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. My name is Abhinav Vikasani. I'm here with Siddhartha Tadala and Ivan Xavier today. Today, we're going to talk about initiative and age. So we have Evan with us to talk about this. So Evan, can you please introduce yourself up?
So thank you for the so thank you Abhinav for inviting me. I'm Evan Xavier. I am a student in class 7 based in Bangalore and a proud member of the technology committee of the Teen Debater.
Can you tell us a bit about like your personal life, like what do you do after school, like how like your MUNs, do you think like what you prepare for MUNs and everything, like your story as a whole?
So I am very active in MUNs. I do enjoy going for them. Well, I'm going to start chairing soon. I've gotten a few acceptances. And after school, well, I usually do some sports like basketball or tennis, and I do enjoy my novels.
That's nice. So obviously you're a part of the Teen Debater organization as well, right? Yeah, so can you tell us a bit about why you decided to join the Teen Debater and like what they've offered to you like while joining?
So I joined the Teen Debater for two main reasons. First being that I wanted to move into various leadership roles later in my life after school. And I felt that the Teen Debater would help me prepare for that and give me that hands-on experience. Second being that I wanted to help people and spread the MUN and debate culture everywhere.
Well, that's great. So you have been part of the Teen Debater for how long now?
I think it was November last year.
November of last year. So how has being part of the Teen Debater shaped your perspective on things such as leadership or initiative?
So being part of the Teen Debater has taught me multiple things about leadership and initiative. That unless you actually do it, you can't just dream about it saying, I want to do this perhaps tomorrow. You have to actually do this. And when you start it, you have to follow through with it. You can't just start something and leave it off like that. So,
can you give me a few examples of how you've taken initiative in the Teen Debater? Like, I mean, I know, but like, can you spread the word to everybody who's listening?
So within the Teen Debater, I am planning multiple events. For example, one failed one was the Herodotus dispute, a historical debate competition. Unfortunately, nobody participated, so that is on hold. I'm also working on a newsletter idea within Teen Debater, so we are planning on that as a complete course for people to learn MUN for those who don't have time to work to watch our 2 hour MUNing 101 videos. And I am planning a few skill sessions to happen within the next few months.
That's great. So this podcast is like main mission is to raise awareness on how to do good in MUNs and how to prepare for them, basically. So can you talk us through your process? Like, how do you prepare? Like, what makes you stand out in MUN, especially because like, you're really young and a lot of MUNers are like generally 15, 16, 17 and all that. So what do you prepare and how do you stand out?
So when I talk about preparation, the first thing I can say is that you have to read your background guide and just annotate whatever important information is there. And though the last part says optional reading, you have to actually read it. Because many times the chairs give various hints on how to get through committee in those in that little list. So even if a background guide is not provided, you have to try to make one yourself. Make one document and collect all articles which you see on the news from the archives, your UN voting process, and your position in general. So one main thing that helps you to do this is to write your position paper. It gives you an idea about what you have been doing instead of just trying to look for it. Because if you write position paper, that can also be your research document. A position paper also signifies to the rest of the committee that I know my topic and I can walk in. So next in research, you have got to consider the fact that not everything will go as it happened in the real world, especially in crisis committees. So you have to keep your mind open and read all sides of the topic, from X, Y, this side, neutral side. And you have also got to think of various solutions that you can pitch out in committee. So coming to the topic on how I stand out in MUNS, what I do is I write a good speech and make myself active. Even if nobody actually listens to me, then I force them to. One main place you can do this is the unmoderated caucus, where you have to pitch your ideas and force your ideas then, because as a younger mana, people think that many of your ideas are just some dreams which cannot actually work. So you have got to actually give a proper why and how this idea will work, and instead of giving one-liners like the bigger kids do.
Okay. So now, as we've already discussed, you are, you know, a bit younger than everyone else that would normally be in committee for an MUN. Have you ever faced any challenges in committee where there were, you know, people who were, you know, much older than you and tried to get you to do things that, the way they wanted to? And was there a way that you could overcome those challenges?
Yes, I faced many problems in committee during my first month. The main being that people just weren't willing to listen and they were trying to force me to come to this block and that, because they thought that I could be easily swayed from my country position because I am younger than them and a first timer. So one main thing you can do to overcome the latter issue is to stick to your country's position, and you cannot just let yourself get swayed by the emotions of committee, how your block says our ideals are this. You can, in the end, the chairs will always look at whether or not you followed your country's position. So yeah.
Okay. So now, the entire goal of today's episode is age and initiative. So what does taking initiative in general mean to you, both within your personal life or within, you know, the teen debater or whatever else you do?
So I've noticed this in a lot of places that people have one same mindset that says that the other person will do it, I can just follow them. So in the end, no work is getting done. Whether it is at school or in the MUN in committee, it all happens like that. So what differentiates a leader and one who takes initiative from the rest of the people is the ability to say, nobody else will do it, I should do it, and charge through and follow and make everyone follow you. Because otherwise, everything will come to a stagnation.
That's
So,
nice. Like all these traits show that clearly you have like an idea, like an idea to be a leader in like MUNs, like to take the first step forward. So like what role do you think confidence plays into this? Because a lot of people lack the confidence to speak up in MUNs or to, you know, go up against like the older or maybe the smarter people. So like how do you go through with this in confidence, and like how do you think others can gain confidence through MUNs and all that?
So confidence is a very important thing. Most people have the greatest of ideas and have the actual skills to be a leader, but they don't have the confidence to actually lead. So one main thing to deal with this is that to remember that everybody has this fear. And if you just give in to this fear, you will never actually grow, but emotionally, mentally, you will never actually grow if you give in to that whole idea saying that I can't do this. So you can picture a lack of confidence or a fear like a wall. The only way get through is to make a door. So to make this door, you have to practice a lot. It doesn't come in the first try. You have to learn and think a lot. And as I said, you have to take initiative whether or not you think it will work. That is the only way you can actually grow and be a leader.
Well, speaking of confidence, did you ever have moments of doubt whenever you were taking initiative, especially in situations you found challenging? And did you do anything to overcome them?
Yes, I've had many moments where I've lost my self-confidence, even, especially in months. I think the first month I decided to create a blog, I was scared saying that the other blog has already one session ahead of me. What if I can't find people? What if I don't have the actual skills? So I was very scared of that. So what I did is I found a partner. I found a partner and we just got through it. We found our delegates. We made a quite good resolution, even though we were actually around 12 people and the other block was some 30. We did not let that bother us. We went through with it completely. And even though our resolution didn't get pushed through in the end, it was a learning experience for all of us.
That's great. You mentioned partner over here, right? So like,
yeah.
what do you think the perfect partners in an MUN, like the perfect support for you, like the yin to your yang, or like, you know, the Tom to your Jerry, like who's the perfect support for you? Like, what do you think is the perfect support?
So the perfect partner in a modular United Nations committee is someone who supports you, but speaks out if they don't agree with you. You have to have both of the sides. You can't have a partner who keeps on blocking you or a partner who just says yes, yes. In the end, again, it will all get stagnant. So you have to have a perfect balance of someone who will support you, yet who will correct you.
So like, how do you think, like, you know, having a partner can, you know, like, you know, move you forward? Like, of course, partners help, but like in an MUN, like, you know, usually it's a large group. So like, what can one person on your side who's fully committed, like do for you and do for your block?
So in the end, if it is even just one person who motivates, who gives those speeches that make you feel good, it will just push through. After all, one voice always can start a shout.
Okay, so you did mention having a partner, but you won't find a good partner everywhere all the time. And sometimes you have to be a leader for yourself. You have to be proactive in that sense. So, in your opinion, what are some of the key traits that anyone doing, anything but predominantly MUN should develop to become a proactive leader?
So, to be a proactive leader, the first thing to do is to always be able to speak up for your ideas and again accept others' opinions. You can't, nobody will support you if you go on saying, "No, this is wrong, you are wrong, I am the only correct person." After all, it is the people who choose a leader, correct? So a proactive leader has to be able to lead and follow both. And again, you have to take initiative. You have to finish what you start. Can't go 50%. It's all or nothing. And you also have to have that confidence and the skills to make others a leader. You have to make others feel good about themselves. Others feel like they are being listened to. Others feel like they are important. That is how a good leader should be.
Okay, so you have very interesting takes and very valid takes on leadership and initiative and related topics. Do you ever feel that your age and how young you are gives you a unique perspective on these topics?
Yes, since I am a younger member of the monk community, I found that I have a very different take on what others think. For example, the bigger manas who are older than me, they have a very authoritarian perspective on leadership. They say that it's either a monopoly or a hidden monopoly, you choose. I've noticed this everywhere. So the younger members, I have seen quite a few of them. They think they are more community oriented because they have experienced the drawbacks of this authoritarian perspective and mindset of the older manners.
I mean, you talk about like authoritarian, right? But sometimes, like, or don't you think like the authoritarian ideas sometimes fit into like the topic? For example, if you're playing Germany from in World War II, like if you start being democratic, it would be kind of weird, right?
True,
So like,
true.
what are the others' perspectives? Like, of course, we have our own perspectives, but how do you think others' perspectives can mold into ours, or how we can use them?
So, as I said, it is a man is a community effort. It is the people who make leader. So you have to have a blend of all the ideas and the ability, and you have to be strong-willed. You have to push your own ideas while listening to others. And as you said, sometimes what I am saying doesn't fit into the role you might be playing in various committees. And as again, this is a man. You have to always follow your country's position. So I was just talking about my perspective and the perspective of the younger manas.
That's great, but like about age, so like a lot of younger people are scared to participate in MUNs, right? Because usually there's always is the like the one or two people who are always trying to like be on top and all that, and that scares a lot of younger students. So like, how do you think younger MUNs should take MUNs? Like, of course, many of them lack the experience to win, or many of them lack the confidence they have like to speak out properly. So how do you think a young MUNer can improve and
So,
be good in MUNs, like improve?
in the end, to actually encourage young Manners, it always is the chair. If you have a supportive chair, then that will encourage the younger manners. And you also have to have a supportive community, a supportive committee. So many times they will find such people, even if it's just one or two, and that encourages them, saying that I found one here, maybe I will find two there. And it is just a chain reaction. So these younger manners in their next committee will have gained the confidence to make others feel better in the committee and have better speeches and etc.
So, you did mention better speeches or more engaging speeches as such, but I'm sure off of your multitudes of experience that most of the times or sometimes people just don't want to listen. They don't have that attitude, no matter how good your speeches are, no matter how engaging they might be. If they have a first impression of you and they don't like it, they won't listen to you. So, what would you recommend to people of not just young MUNers, but all ages to get people to listen?
So to get people to listen, you have to put it to them in their own language. You have to use a little bit of force and command over them, whether it is using psychological techniques or you are just putting a very aggressive position in your speeches or lots of emotion. You have to find out what will make them listen and use that.
So like in a lot of speeches, like you usually see like two categories, right? Like one, like they're really radical, like this, like they call out for big changes, and there's some that are like just going with the topic, sticking to it, not deviating far. So like which you think is better, staying going radical or playing the part and just keeping the flow going?
So the perfect style is a mixture of both, right in the middle. You have to be able to make necessary changes while also making sure that committee flows through and the topic, no matter what, is actually being debated.
Nice. And on top of that, like how do you think like position paper should be? Because that's like a thing that many people like struggle with. Like even I struggle with making position papers because there's so many things in finance country from 50 years ago and like 2 years ago. There's so much contrast, right? Like it's not the same it was 50 years ago as it is today. So how do you think people can work on that? Because you
So,
mentioned
in
before,
the
right?
end,
Position
for a
papers.
position paper, as you mentioned in the timeline, you have to keep to the topic of your committee. So, if, for example, if yours is the 2023 METCG Summit, you have to consider for all the data from at least 2015. Try to find the most recent position that your country has within committee. And when you talk about multitude of data, it is best to just take a document and organize it and choose the most important ones, because when you organize everything that you have, it makes it easier to actually see and realize what it actually pertains to your committee. And you have to always keep a proper format. You have to start with your country introduction, then you go on to a topic introduction, then you have to note down the majority ideas on the topic. Then you go on to your country's idea. And finally, you have to add a few solutions at the end. That makes everybody realize that you are prepared for committees and you know what you are doing, even if you don't. And you should always cite your resources. That is something that will help you in the long term. But because even in academic papers, you will have to cite. So in these small man position papers, if you start doing this, it will become a habit. It also, again, as I said, helps you to organize your research, your articles, and etc.
So here's something I've always wanted to know. I have done maybe 3 or 4 MUNs in my entire life, and every single time I get called up to do a speech or someone contests something that I say, the first thing that goes on in my head is how do I answer or what do I do? Because even with the most preparation possible, I'm just the kind of person that if you ask me to speak about something I don't know on the spot, then, you know, I sort of break down. So whenever you get called on to do a speech or someone contests something that you say, what's the first thing that goes through your head and how exactly do you react to such situations?
So to the situation of someone contesting what I say, I try to figure out where they are coming from, on what grounds are they saying this. That helps me to know better how do I defend myself or whether I should actually go with their ideas. So the best thing to do is to always listen to your opponent, and you can try and find out why and how they are doing this, and you can react to the situation.
So in committee, oftentimes the people who contest your speeches are the most experienced, and the most experienced oftentimes are, you know, the oldest. So you didn't mention listening to your whoever is contesting your point and what grounds they're coming from. Did you ever have an experience where you fought aggression with aggression?
You can never fight aggression with aggression. After all, even in maths, a negative and a negative always end up in the negative. You can never actually fight aggression with aggression. The best way to fight aggression is to move on defense and slowly try to move to an offense.
Okay. Yeah. Abhinav?
Yeah, so all of this, like, of course, is great and all. One more thing is a lot of people, like, they don't prepare for MUS. Like, they come up with 100% confidence and, like, Red Bull or whatever. They just come in all guns blazing with the preparation. Do you think that's, like, one way to go with it? Like, you know, a lot of my friends, like me included sometimes, we just prepare, like, one day before the committee, and then we just try to yap whatever we want to yap. But there are also some people I know who start 1 or 2 weeks before, they'll kind of break through all the points, and then they'll participate in the MUNs. So, like, which thing is better? Like, just sit down, like, use your like, talk on the spot, like, use your wiseness, whatever it is, and then talk, or, like, prepare from, like, 2 weeks prior, but then, you know, like, don't focus on, like, anything innovative, just stick to the sticky material.
So again, you need a great mixture of both. You have to have your preparation, and you have to be open-minded and think about solutions and innovations. Because even in the business world, people don't go on to any Shark Tank or anything like that on the spot. They make a point-to-point representation of why, how, when, and where, and show how innovative it is, and see how innovation can come from the others. So it's best to have at least 2 weeks of preparation. But if you have the skills to do it one day before, you can do it. After all, a man is just sticking to your policy with a bit of open-mindedness.
So on the topic of open-mindedness and innovation, Oftentimes, people in committee either like to stick to the script, go completely off track, or do both. And everyone has their different perspectives on what's happening. Did you ever encounter a time where you thought that your age gave you an advantage over them in terms of perspective on whatever is happening in committee or however you answer?
Yes, as I've mentioned before, the younger manas, we have a more community-minded approach to the perspectives, which is very popular with the chairs. And some of the more experienced manas, they actually like this and they support us. So you have to have a very You have to be able to look forward to the community and for yourself.
Yeah, and on the topic of community, nowadays there are like 50 MUNs going on in like a year, like in one region. Like in my city, Hyderabad, like I get like notifications about an MUN every other day. So like, what do you think? How do you pick which MUN to go to? Like which one? Like and like, how do you form a community like from going to these MUNs? Like how do you form like a community of MUN goers? Like who work together? Like what role does community play overall as like an M manner? Because in Hyderabad there are 50 MUNs, but like people only go to like 10, 20 of them. So how do you stay on the right side of the community and like and all that? Yeah.
So even in Bangalore, every second school they hold an MUN, and we have lots of private MUNs going on held by NGOs. And even in a day and age where virtual months are thriving, it is a very big question on how do I decide which MUN to go to. And in this day and age where we have lots of these Mon communities, whether on Discord or WhatsApp, which I be a part of. So for the question of months, you have to actually see how their previous months went. Who do you know that's going for these months? You have to look at the organizing committee, the dais. It is all these things that actually you should choose to attend a month on. And for a month community, the only way to find one that's perfect for you is to build your own. If you make friends with some delegates in one month and a few in the others, just introduce each of them to each other and help each other out. That's the whole point of a community.
On the topic of months, now like obviously like everybody's doing months now. There's like not a person out there who's just sitting at home and like doing nothing while MUN is going on. Everybody's going at least one a year. So how do you think? But like you can be a standard munner. Like sure go to fifth. Like everybody goes like a few every year, and everybody wins some or the other award. But like how can you amongst the winners stand out? Because college is gonna look at you, and then they'll see hundred other manners like you. So what can you do to stand out?
So to stand out as a mana, you can't just rely on your man experience. They will actually look at how you did in leadership positions, what internships you did, your real life experience. So in a way, a mana is very helpful if you go as a part of the organizing committee. Because in the end, a college is looking to make a name for itself. So it will look for people who will help it actually organize its own events and make them go, wow.
So at the beginning of the episode, you mentioned getting some opportunities to be a chair, if I'm not wrong. What opportunities do you think? Sorry, my bad. So you are a very young person, and oftentimes chairs are people with a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge about how a committee goes and how MUNs go. So Do you think there is a certain advantage or drawback to you being such a young chair?
Yes, I actually know what it's like for the younger manas to be bullied by the older ones, and how indecision actually affects them. So I can say that I can actually leverage the playing field between them and be a supportive and encouraging chair.
So of course you'll find all the different types of chairs out there. There's some who are very chill, some who are very strict, some who'll go who won't give a damn about you. So like how what do you think what role do you think a chair can play to motivate younger MU owners?
So a chair should be proactive in committee along with the delegates. You shouldn't have a chair who sits on the dais and just sitting while the delegates are lobbying and blocking. They have to be an active part of it, seeing, giving feedback after every session. That is very important because it will help people know what they are doing right and doing wrong, instead of waiting for the end of committee to give one big paragraph of feedback. So the younger manners, it will help them to know how they can improve next time after 15 minutes in the next session. So a proactive chair is very important.
And on top of that, MUN is like only like a foundation thing, right? Like you take the skills you use from MUN to become like a researcher or you can become a diplomat. So like what do you plan on doing with your MUN skills, like in the future or now even?
I think in the future I'm going to try to be a diplomat myself. Continue what I am doing in months.
Speaking of the skills that you use, aside from what you want to do in the future or how you think it will help you, in the coming years, have you ever noticed any of the skills that you've applied in your MUNs come out in your daily life, whether that's in school or at home or in the work you do?
Yes, the skills I have learned in months helped me a lot, especially in school. For example, even in English grammar, we have public speaking exams. I know how to actually get an A there. I know who to make friends with in the school so that I can actually come on top. I know how to actually handle questions that come in my papers, whether it be in social studies or anything else.
So of course, talking to you today has been amazing. I myself have learned a lot about MUNs. So before we wrap up the episode, can you tell do you have something to say to all the younger MUNers or MUNers in general? So like before we wrap things up.
Yes, so my advice is don't give up no matter what happens. Even if a chair doesn't recognize you, no matter how good you do, don't give up. In the end, one day you will receive that best delegate. In the end, one day your fellow delegates will appreciate you. The only thing you can do is be persistent and keep on going.
That's great. I'm sure a lot of us need to hear that because not giving up is probably the most important thing and like anybody should do in anything in anything in life. You just can't you just can't leave things where they are. You have to get some answer. So thank you for that. And with this, I think we're gonna wrap up the episode. Thanks to everybody who's listened. Just thanks from me. Thanks from Siddharth. Thanks from everyone. Thanks from the entire Teen Debater group. And with this is all of us signing off.